Kathy Maddox is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She received her Master of Arts in MFT from USD. Mm-hmm. She's been a credentialed public school teacher, a preschool director. She's worked with the YMCA as counseled children and families for Rady's Children's Hospital and the NVISTA's North Coast Church Counseling Center. She also has a private practice, The Art of Family in Vista. She's three children, three kids-in-law, mm-hmm. and four granddaughters.
Yes.
She's been married to her husband for 41 years. Right? Woohoo! So please join me in welcoming Kathy Maddox.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, welcome to fun date night. This is awesome. I've had the privilege to talk here a couple of times, and I've talked about love and logic. This is the parenting approach that I teach throughout the county pretty much these days. And in addition to my private practice, I do specialize in working with children. So that's my favorite thing to talk about and favorite thing to teach you. So love and logic is a approach. Is this too loud? Is a approach, one of many approaches, parenting approaches, that I fell in love with and have been promoting for quite a few years. Love and Logic has been around for 35 years, or actually probably almost 40 years by now. The founders are Jim Fay and Foster Klein, and they initially started Love and Logic for schools. So Jim Fay was a teacher first, principal second, and he found that he was screaming and yelling at the kids and trying to get them to do their homework, and none of that was working. So he and Foster Klein got together and started to come up with a plan to have a better, calmer class where children took responsibility and were respectful to the teacher. And it grew and grew and grew, came into a, it also, of course, is a parenting program now. And it's taught all over the world. So I'm a facilitator for that. I went to some training for all of that, and it's just a lovely, lovely approach to teaching children to be responsible and respectful without you screaming your head off at them, which is lovely. So I want to review a couple of things that I talked about the last couple of times real quickly. I know some of you have heard some of this before, but we'll just go over a few of these things, and I'm very conscious that you guys have dinner reservations. I promise I won't go over, but I will allow some time at the end for questions. So let's first talk a little bit about affordable mistakes. It's hard for us as parents, especially in our Western culture, to allow our children to make a mistake. We kind of go ahead of them sometimes and make sure that they have their coats on and they have their lunches and they have their homework, and we make sure that it's all done and we're running around and probably solving most of their problems. Love and Logic teaches that they need very early on to start understanding that they need to be responsible for themselves, which of course will come along with some possible mistakes later on. These are called affordable mistakes. What you want your children to learn before they get to be teens and they start driving or making decisions about going to parties is to make a good choice. They still won't always make good choices because this isn't all done, and you know what all you guys did when you were about 18? So, but you want them to have the ability to stop and think and decide what they want to do. So Love and Logic teaches that there's three kinds of parents. There's a helicopter parent, there's the drill sergeant, and then there's a consultant, which is the Love and Logic parent. Helicopter parent, many of us are a lot of these differently, depending on where, you know, what the circumstances are. But a helicopter parent hovers over the kids, makes sure they've got everything done, don't want them to feel any hurt or any pain or have any awareness of a logical consequence if they forgot their lunch or forgot their homework or forgot their coat. We make sure that's all done and we run back down to the school and make sure they have their lunch. And a helicopter parent doesn't allow a child to feel what it feels like to make that mistake and then learn so well that one time they never forget their lunch again. Some of the traits of a helicopter parent are, use the glasses, whines and uses guilt. When are you going to ever learn. I always have to clean up after you. Or whines and complains about having an irresponsible child who all causes me so much work and responsibility. Uses a lot of words, actions, rescuing them. Protects the child from the natural consequences of his actions. The next parent that Love and Logic talks about is a drill sergeant. Many of us are that, some more than others. Men tend to be a little bit more of a drill sergeant, but that doesn't always bear true. Drill sergeants, it's got to be done now, and if you just listen to me, everything will be fine, and let's get going. You're not capable of thinking of yourself, so if you just have me, I can get things going for you really quickly. It's usually loud, and it's usually abrupt, and it's usually disrespectful, even to the kid, because you're coming in out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, go to bed, eat your food, do your homework. And the kids are like, ugh. So some of the things they say about drill sergeants are, they issue orders and threats. You get that cleaned up right now or else. Takes over ownership of the problem using threats and orders to solve the problem. Uses lots of harsh words, very few actions, and uses punishment, pain, and humiliation to serve as a teacher. So, and I'll take a side note here. You know, our parents, my parents, I'm your parents, you know, were often, as well as me, drop-kicked across the room if we didn't obey. My mother was always told to go out and pick out her switch, and if the switch wasn't good enough, they went out together and picked out her switch, which was worse than the one she picked out, of course. Spanking, corporal punishment, this fear that we put into kids to say, you obey me or you're going to be hurt, doesn't teach them anything. So what Love and Logic, thank you, what Love and Logic says is that we need children to stop and think and make choices for themselves and allow them to make some bad choices. We'll get back to that in just a second. Some bad choices so they figure out, oh, I can do this on my own, I need to do this on my own. And we don't have to be so controlling all the time. So again, when we allow a child to make an affordable mistake, they learn their lesson, usually, and on their own make another choice the next time. An example of that is my kids live, one set of my kids live in Colorado, and I have the middle daughter in that group is very, very, very strong-willed. And if you say it's blue, it's green. If you say wear shoes, she won't. They took some Love and Logic, and my son said, you need to put some shoes on before we go. And she says, I don't want to put my shoes on. There's shoes in the car. I'm going to put my boots on. They're in the car. Well, no, you probably should put some shoes on. No, I don't want to put, is that your choice? Yes, it's your choice. And of course, she didn't know that it snowed last night. It was very cold. It's not far to their car. Nonetheless, she's doing this, going out to the car, because he makes sure that that door is locked. She can't go back in. And suddenly, you can't find the keys to the car. Oh, yes, she's doing that. Hurry up there. Where's the keys? I can't find the keys to the car. He's cracking up inside. But he doesn't say anything. This is the key. You don't lecture them. See, I told you you should add your shoes. None of that. She gets in the car, puts her boots on. No words. Next day. Time to go. You need to get your shoes on. Did it snow last night? I don't know. I'm going to get my shoes because last time I went out, it was cold. No more words. Don't say, I told you so. I wanted you to listen to me. Stay quiet. We talk too much. They learned. She knew next time that she didn't want to go out there without shoes. Same thing happens when a child goes to school and goes to the office and says, I forgot my lunch. You are not available when they forget their lunch. They have to figure it out for themselves. And most schools now have a rule where you can't share, so friends can't share with you. But I'll tell you what, your kid eats a lot when they get home, and the next day you don't have to say one word, but guess what they remember to take to school? Their lunch. So again, these little tiny affordable mistakes allow for a child to start thinking on their own. And one of the problems with all of this, of course, is that when the school secretary or assistant principal calls you and says, oh, they forgot their code, they forgot their homework, and you say, no, thank you, I'm not coming down, you're so embarrassed, like, oh my gosh, what kind of a woman, what kind of a mother do they think I am? You have to be able to put up with that because our society and our culture kind of tends to baby kids a little bit. And you have to be okay with maybe being slightly embarrassed. It should be embarrassing, but being able to do that and let your child kind of learn their lesson at school for the day. Not affordable mistakes, that's when they choose to drive their friends to a party and they drink when they weren't supposed to and they drive them home. That's not affordable. Not affordable mistakes is a child running across the street when they're not supposed to. So you're trying to learn, have them learn to stop and think. Now, of course, there are times when we are drill sergeants or helicopters when your kid is going to run across the street and they're 4 years old and you're going to say, I'm not going to say anything. And when that car hits them, I hope they learn their lesson. So, of course, there are times when we have to step in because we are the parent and we need to make sure that they're always, always safe. But there's many times when we step in at the wrong time and not let them suffer the consequences. So while I'm curious, what age groups do we have here right now? Do we have, how many of you have a child between 0 and 2? 4, 3 and 5? 6 and 8? 8 to 10, 9 to 10? Older than 10? Oh. That's another class. Actually, it's not. All of these things are exactly the same in the class for the older kids, too. It's exactly the same. So there are a few things that we do differently with little guys. And then, of course, there are huge challenges with teenagers, preteens and teens. But, okay, so we have a nice spread of everything. Why don't you call out some of the things that drive you crazy with your kids? Let me hear it. Say it what? What?
Dinner time,
yes. What else?
Whining.
Getting in the car.
Hitting each other.
Throwing things.
Talking
all the time. That's a different thing. Talking back. Talking period. Oh. We have a talking problem. Getting out the door. Awesome. What else?
Nap time.
Oh, gosh. Getting up in the morning, getting to school on time, brushing their teeth, putting their pajamas on, reading too many books at night, calling in the middle of the night, I can't sleep, I need to come in with you. All that, yeah? Okay, so that's all normal stuff, right? So the next thing we're going to talk a little bit about, and this is fun to do, and I hope you can all try this as soon as you go home, sharing control by letting them make some choices. So sometimes we say, go get in the tub, or we say, go get in the car, or, go clean up your room. And for the little guys, it's really fun to give them choices. This is only when everybody's in a good mood. This is not when they're crabby. This is not when you're mad or you're not having fun. Don't do it then, it never works. But when everybody's happy, watch what you can do when you share control and give them some choices. When you go to the tub, do you want to have bubbles tonight or do you want to play with those crayons on the wall? I want the crayons on the wall. Okay, you've made a choice and they feel great because they got to pick it. Do you want your red shirt or blue shirt? I want my blue shirt. No, they'll say, I want my green shirt. That's also, we'll talk about that later. But over and over again, you're going to get them to do what you want to do by giving them choices. Do you want to use mommy's toothpaste or do you want to use your toothpaste? Do you want to wear your boots? Do you want to wear your shoes? Do you want a red coat, blue coat, whatever. Over and over again, you give them choices. And they feel very empowered when you start saying, I don't know, which would you like? And you only give them two choices. And they're two choices that you would always want. And they will do almost anything for you. Do you want to go to the car twirling like Princess Belle, or would you like to march like a soldier? They're hysterical. I want to march like a soldier in the car. You got them in the car. That's the point. Yes? It's how do we get them there with them making some choices? How do we get them dressed? Do you want this shoe on first or this shoe on first? Do you want mommy to help you with your car seat, or can you do it, your buckle, or can you do it by yourself? Over and over and over, you give them just a couple choices. They get to choose. They think, I'm going to do what I want to do. They've got all this power, and you've gotten them somewhere without saying you're going to take a bath. How do you want to get there? What does that look like? It's really fun. I mean, some of the people that have taken my classes just They are rolling with laughter because they do so many choices. It's hilarious if you would stop and look at it and listen to it. Do you want to put the table, do you want to put the fork on this side, or would you like to put the fork on this side? Do you want to help mommy set the table, or would you rather help me clean up? All those things, choices, 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 choices. It's really fun. So all those things are driving you crazy. Try a few of these. Sharing control by giving them choices only when it's fun. Now remember, don't let them cry. You bring over the milk. You put the milk on the table. I don't want milk! That's not a time to give them a choice. Because just of what they did, they're now not happy campers. Before dinner starts, you want juice or milk, water or milk, or whatever your choices are. But don't let them cry and then you change your mind because you can't stand the noise anymore. Okay, so we've learned a little bit about letting children make affordable mistakes, and that's you backing up. We've learned a little bit about sharing control, so they feel empowered, and you can make the day really fun when you do things like that. So another thing we talked about when I was here last time was neutralizing arguing at home. So this is the best skill you can learn with your kiddos if you have an arguer or a strong-willed child. We tend to argue with our kids or tend to talk back to them and give them reasons and if you only knew how important this is, and we go on and on and on and on with arguing, and then the volume goes up in the house and people are screaming and kids are mad and people are stomping. So I want you to learn to, when a child starts to argue with you, you're going to go brain dead. Brain dead means you're going to come up with a one-liner, which you have to figure out. And you can go online. I'll teach you where to go find ideas for one-liner. But what really works most of the time is, I know. I know. You're the worst mom in the world. I know. Susie down the street doesn't have to do that. I know. You didn't make my sister do that. How come you're making me do that? I know. Don't go into it. Don't argue. You never have to win. You do not have to defend yourself. Just go to your one-liner, whatever that is. One one-liner is, I love you too much to argue. Here's what your face looks like. It's whispery and it's kind and sweet. I know. I know. I know. What they're used to is, how many times have I told you to clean up your room? My goodness, I said it 10 times, and you haven't done one thing. Look at this. There's bananas on the floor, for Pete's sake. I worked so hard. I was in 36 hours of labor with you, and I don't even know why I bothered doing that. Right? They're like, oh. So we get carried away with yelling at them and telling how many times we told them, and we're not going to do that anymore. And they're going to keep coming at us. But you, but I, but that's not. That. And you're going to, I know. I know, I know, I know. Try it. It's amazing. Now, you know that 4, 5, 6-year-old is like, stop saying that. So you're going to not address that, smile at them, and say nothing if you want to, or I love you too much to argue is one thing. Or, I'm going to go live with my dad. I can't stand living here. You're so mean. And you just say, nice try. So try not to use sarcasm. Try not to be tease them with that I know. You're going to be sweet and soft and kind. So neutralize arguing by going brain dead and using your one-liner. Try it. loveandlogic.com. If you go to that website, there is a tab that says for parents, and there's free articles, zillions of them, free articles for parents when you pull that down. And all these things are on there. So if you need a refresher, because I'm flying by this stuff tonight, it's another place to look for additional one-liners or what all this means. And what I want to talk about here next, this empathetic statement is the featured, this was what separates Love and Logic from most other parenting programs, this empathetic statement. So, and this is something they finally figured out. When you see some of their videos, you see how hard it was for them to finally get to this. But this is really the key to Love and Logic, that when they've done something wrong and you have to give them a consequence, instead of saying, ha, you lose your phone for 5 weeks, or ha, go to your bedroom. You're going to give them an empathetic statement. And you have to come up, just like with your one-liner, you have to come up with that too. For me, the empathetic statement is, oh, sweetie. All that's in that, oh, sweetie, is, ooh, you made a bad choice, and now you're going to get a consequence, and I'm so sad for you because, really, I wouldn't want to have made that choice myself. But I'm not saying any of those words. Mm-hmm. Oh, sweetie. And when you start doing this before you give them their consequence, it's amazing. They don't go to the fight or flight of their brain. They don't start screaming at you. And you gave them back the problem. I've told you so many times not to do that. When we do that stuff, we take the problem on ourselves. We're saying, oh, what am I going to do with you? You haven't done the blah, blah, blah. You're going to be so sad that they made a bad choice. And you come up with your empathetic statement. And then you give them the consequence. So we're not going to talk about consequences tonight because all of you wish that I would. You'll get me back that way. But the idea for the empathetic statement is the key for this approach. And it keeps everybody calm. It keeps you calm. You're so sad that they made that choice. And then you can say, you know, you can do one of two things. It depends on the child, the age, the circumstance, all kinds of things. But one of the things you can do is say, you know what, I'm going to give you a consequence for that, but we're going to do that a little bit later. And then you get out of the room. Don't talk. We over-talk. Don't explain to them that there's people, you know, in other countries that have no food. Or, oh, you've got 15 pair of shoes. There's people that have no shoes. You don't do any of that. You just say, so sad, oh, sorry. Example of that, my middle granddaughter in Colorado, we were watching the kids while my son and daughter-in-law went on a little vacation. So they're out in the backyard, my husband and I are out in the backyard, and they know love and logic very well. And they know grandma very well. I'm not a softy when it comes to people hurting other people. My older granddaughter's coming down the slide that they have in their backyard, and the middle one was so mad at her, and I don't even remember why, but as soon as she got low enough, she reached up and she bit her on the knee. So the older one's screaming, and I said, oh, sweetie. She knew exactly what I meant when I said, oh, sweetie. I didn't have to yell at her. I didn't have to say anything. You're in trouble. There's going to be a consequence. She knows what grandma will do. She comes over, and she just sat down beside me like this. And what you want the kids to learn is that you're sad that they made that mistake because now she doesn't get to play. That's so sad that she doesn't get to play. And if you can pull this off with these two skills right here, your face changes, your heartbeat goes down, your blood pressure goes down, the screaming in the house goes away. No one's yelling. There's no reason to yell. You have complete control. It's so funny, you know, before we have babies, we think we know, and those stupid people down the street, they can't control their kids. Until you have three of your own, and you're like, oh, wow, okay, this is harder than I thought. And what we want in the houses is we want your children to think that you have a lot of power and you're very safe for them. This is a very safe household for them. So when you use these things, it keeps you from yelling, it keeps you from lecturing, it keeps you from making threats. None of that stuff works. It doesn't work. So what you want to do is give them back the problem, be sad they made that choice, and then you follow through with the consequence. Okay, I'm going to stop right here, and then I've got a couple more things to present if we have time. But I thought I'd stop and ask for some questions, if you have any, about what we've talked about so far, or how impossible you think this all is. Yes?
I have one. Some of these things I've tried in my home, and they're very, very successful. When we are somewhere else, so...
But the kids are with you, but you're out of the house. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Store, restaurant.
Okay. So one of the other skills too for this that we haven't presented is the uh-oh song. Do you know what that is? No. Yeah. let's see if I can talk about that. The uh-oh song is what you use for anybody that's about this high or less. It's they have an early childhood version of all of this, and that's for these preschoolers or tinier, where you can pick them up. So once you can't pick them up and they're, you know, flailing and knocking you over, then you don't use the uh-oh song. So I'll talk about that with you in just a second. That's, we can do that instead of what I was going to do. That's a good one. Okay, what else? Yeah. Right. So practicing that one thing that you'll always say and holding inside that anger and that face that you usually make and getting out of the room. One of the things I say in my practice is parents hang in the room and really want the kids to understand how upset they are. If you can get out of the room, so you have to not be sarcastic, say your thing, oh, sweetie, and then out you go. And then you even waving your hand behind you say, we'll talk later, or the consequences later. And delay consequences, one of the best skills in this is to delay the consequence. Any two-year-old can remember what happened. Don't worry about having to know right then. So get out of the room as soon as you can. Okay, other questions? Great, 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 great. Yes.
In neutralizing arguments, is that also similar to, they're saying, I don't want to go.
I know.
Going, please put your shoes on.
I know. Yeah, and don't repeat a lot. Don't do that. Just say, I know. And the car is leaving in 5 minutes. You can get in the car with your clothes on your back, or you can get in the car with the clothes in a bag. You choose. Mm, yeah. Stop over and over and over again, telling them over and over again what to do. And they don't like to go in the car with a bag of clothes. Yes.
If you say, oh, sweetie, and you turn around and leave the room, and they chase after you, just keep going and ignore that.
So what I like to do is when there's not a problem, sometimes you can say to the kiddos, and this is a little bit older than maybe two, but you can say, sometimes you need quiet time by yourself and you're not in trouble, and sometimes mommy and daddy needs quiet time. And so you're going to say, sometimes I'm going to ask you to just let me have my quiet time. And if you let them help you set a clock, they love it. Everybody should have a zillion little egg timers in your house. I should have invested and sold them. And I, you know, if they say, how many, I need 5 minutes, and they can set their timer and you leave me alone for 5 minutes. And you do a practice session when nobody's mad, and they love it. They think it's hysterical. How long should we set the timer? 3 hours. Bye. So yeah, teach them that it's okay for you to have quiet time because you got to get your brains together. Yeah. I love her already. I love her.
Maybe she's not arguing, but then I might pause and say, well, actually, this is arguing.
No.
But then she also will say, stop saying that, but not in an annoying way, in a very, very angry way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say it again, just in a way that she doesn't argue.
So, yeah, I would go to a smaller thing. That right there, you can use in certain circumstances, but I would just say, I know, for everything that she says. You always say that, I know. I can't stand it when you say that, I know. It'll make her mad, but don't change your face and don't get sucked in. So good, I didn't write this down, but here's something you have to know. This is a Kathyism, it's not a love and logic. Kids are born to control, and they push your buttons and they find out what your button is to get your face to go and get your veins to come out and get you like this. And even though you're mad, they're controlling you. They're controlling you. So, you know, you have to be very careful. They're going to say things to you that's going to hurt you. It'll hurt your heart a little bit. They don't mean it. All they want is their way. If I say, I hate you and I want to go live with Susie's mom, you're not going to go, oh my gosh, how could you say that? They're pushing your buttons. That's it. And you're going to go, I know. Go live with Susie's mom. No, you don't say that. So you don't allow them to hurt you. So you protect your heart and do not engage. They will do, and they will amp it up. Let me just say, those little smart kiddos, those little, you know, strong-willed kiddos, it'll go higher and higher and higher, and you can't allow their words to change your face. Yeah.
What do you do for the more severe scenarios where you have maybe an older sibling either attacking the younger sibling or they're stealing the bike and they're, you know, going down the sidewalk? How do you not intervene or intervene in a less hostile way in those scenarios?
You know, as long as no one's getting hurt, actually hurt, and you observe it or you find out the truth of what happened, so you have to be sure that you know the truth, you just wait. Big sister. If they're not being hurt, they're not being hurt. So love and logic, I'm not sure I agree with this necessarily all the time. There's a few things in love and logic, by the way, that you probably are going to go, no, that's not for our house. That's cool. That's cool. There's things that don't fit. But love and logic does say sibling rivalry happens a lot when we're in the room. If you leave the room, they stop it. I don't know. You know, people are missing arms. But I say, and then you delay the consequence and you don't say anything to that older one that was torturing the younger one. And this is just an example. Of course, it'll be different in your home. But you're driving home. I want to go to Susie's house. They're going to have a little party after school. Oh, I'll be glad to take you to Susie's house as soon as I see you show respect to your sister in our house. Boom! They don't get to go to Susie's house because they showed lack of respect either to their sister or even to you. They say terrible things to you or use bad language to you. Don't address it then. That's a button pusher. Take care of the original issue. 3 days later when you're in the car and they want to go do something, oh, yeah, I can see why you'd want to do that. I'll be glad to take you to that as soon as you fill in the blank. You never said no, right? They understand. Well, how? What's little?
Well, they don't remember, I guess.
They do.
They do.
They do.
So, like, do you limit
time? Oh, yeah. So I got to do love and love. I have to do this little thing that we're going to talk about here. Okay. I'll do one more question, and then we'll talk about that. Yeah. Yeah.
But for her, how do you go about this? I don't know if she just over time she'll pick up.
Be quiet. I know. And remember, like little ones who are on the changing table, for instance, and they're doing this and they're not letting you change them, you press your hands down on them and don't look at them until they stop and then really fast you change them. But if they do it again, then you do it again. And if you have to do this all day long, you're in charge. Don't look, hold them down, and that's the best time to get these little tiny ones. So they, wow, she's really powerful. I can't have my way. So, 6 months.
What?
Yeah. So they're on a changing table, for instance, or on the floor or whatever, and you're holding them down because they're twisting around and not allowing you to change their diaper. And we're always in a time crunch, right? But you're gonna slow it way down and not look at them until they're done. And do not talk to them. Don't. I know you're being, you know, that's the best mom in the wide world, but we talk way too much to our kids, and it looks like we are weak. Oh, this is why you have to do it. If you only knew all of this. La, 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 la. So let me do this one more thing, and then I know you'll have questions about this. I'm telling you guys, I'm giving you like 5 weeks of love and logic, right? So for the little ones, the uh-oh song. This is what you're going to do when they're at home or even in another place, but I it's a little harder to do sometimes, but definitely you can do it. The uh-oh song is the empathetic statement, uh-oh, and the consequence for tiny guys. So they're you know, on the floor in the living room, and they just, you know, batted the dog with the fire truck. And you take their hand, because they're not supposed to hit the dog, and you say, uh-oh, it's time for a little bedroom time. So we don't do timeout anymore. Stop doing the timeout, it doesn't work. We're gonna go to bedroom time. You take them to their bedroom, and you say, would you like the door open or closed? I want the door open. Okay, whoosh, out he goes, you grab, you say, well, it looks like you chose closed. And you put them in their bedroom, and they stay in their bedroom, and they're screaming their heads off. They stay in there, you say nothing through the door to them. When they stop crying, you say, I'm setting the timer. That's the only word you can say. I'm setting the timer. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, depending on the age of the child. They have to stay quiet, so they're thinking, and then they get to come out. And when they come out, we're so glad you're coming out. We want to watch Finding Nemo. We want to have popcorn. The idea, the subtle difference, but it's a huge difference in timeout. Timeout, we put a little, you know, square over there, or sit on the bottom of the step or whatever, and they get to see all of us doing stuff, and they also talk to us, or scream at us, or cry at us, or whatever. And it interrupts the family. They don't get to do that. So you take them to their room. They stay in the room. Love and Logic suggests putting locks on the door if they won't stay in. And the way you do that is you go to Lowe's, Home Depot, whatever. I'm not promoting either. And those little locks that you can put on the way high top that just turn over like that, you put those locks on the door until it's time for them to come out, if they need to be locked in the room. This is only the ages that you can pick up and take if they won't walk, and they stay in their room. When they're quiet, they get to come out. If it's a tiny one, you try to use a pack and play or a playpen, because you try not to put them in their own bed for bedroom time. Then if you're out, you still have the uh-oh song. You put them in the stroller, if you have a stroller with you. They do this great thing where you push it against the wall at the airport. Kids screaming their head off mad because they were doing something wrong. But when they're done screaming, you wait for a few minutes and you let them out. You don't say, why were you in there? Say you're sorry to your sister. None of that. So glad to have you back. Then all you have to do is do this for a few times, and every time your kid hears uh-oh, they know exactly what you're going to do. Some kids walk willingly to their bedroom to calm themselves down. It's a really good thing, you people, to have children learn how to self-soothe and calm themselves down without you. It's a trait that we don't focus on very much with little guys. We think we need to hold them all the time and we need to calm them down. But by the age of five, when they get to school, they don't have you, and they need to be able to handle themselves. So the uh-oh song is what you use. Uh-oh, you grab their hand first, or they'll run as soon as you say uh-oh. Grab their hand, uh-oh, it's bedroom time, so sorry. And you put them in their bedroom, shut the door. You stay nearby. You don't go get a cup of coffee while they're in the room. You stay nearby, and if they break something, they break something. And if it's something that's their sister's or yours, they're going to pay for that, but we won't get into that tonight. But it's all you have to do this is a few times. And the other thing, if you're out, if you can handle it, you don't have a stroller, the kid won't calm down, you have to hold them. You sit down on the curb or wherever you are, and you put them face out, and you wrap yourself around them while they throw their fit, and you just sit there. It's embarrassing as all get out. But you know what? All of us our age, like, thank you. You take care of your kid. Make sure that you press your cheek against the back of their head, or the head betcha, right? So you gotta be careful because it could hurt you. Do not talk to them. They don't get you when they're behaving like that. They get you when they're done. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so you mentioned don't talk about what they did.
Mm-hmm. They know what they did.
But I try to do it in a calm way.
Don't bother. They know what they did. What you're doing is making sure that they understand why they were in trouble, so they won't do it again. That they're going to do it again, or they're not going to do it again. So you don't tell them what they did wrong, and you don't say, now you say sorry. Well, they're going to say sorry, so then go play with their Legos. They aren't sorry. Now, on a different occasion, you're going to teach children, this is one of those times when you need to say you're sorry. What happened yesterday was one of those times when you probably need to apologize. I wonder if you're going to set that up sometime. Leave them alone, let them think about it. Yeah, I'm sorry, yesterday was. You're going to teach them to say, oh, sorry, but not when they come out of their room. When they come out of the room, you're all big arms, and there's popcorn going on, or there's dinner's ready, and we can't wait for you to come with us. And the idea is, oh, you had to separate yourself from us because you couldn't handle it, and we want you back really soon, even though maybe you don't. Yeah. Nope. And when he goes in there, right, and he goes in there, especially those kinds of kids that say, fine, I'll be in here, and be careful because they say that just so you're like, what should I do? The popcorn goes, and Finding Nemo is loud, right? Hey, did you find Finding Nemo yet? You're saying to the other kids, and they're putting it in, and you're all romping and having a great time. He wants to be with the family all of a sudden, right? Popcorn or whatever his favorite, so you got cookies going. Oh, we're so glad you're back. You know, you're not saying any of these words, don't talk. But he's saying, wow, I missed a lot while I was gone. That I don't like going to my room. Make sense? Awesome. Yeah.
How does that song work at the grocery store? Because I feel like my son wants to leave the grocery store.
Yes. Yes. So I have 7 more skills I could teach you, but I have to stop. So Love and Logic has answers for all of those. They have an awesome whole grocery store thing that you do. It's really great. Yeah.
How do you impress upon your child when they do something where they actually owe their sibling an apology? How do you impress upon them that they do it back to say sorry to them?
Yeah. So if they're tiny and you're doing this go to the bedroom thing, you know, their bedroom time, you do it later, or probably there's been other occasions when he had to do that. So later on, you're just going to say, wow, I didn't hear you say anything to your brother. That was really rough, or that was hard on the dog, or that was hard on your whatever. I'm wondering, you know, what you think you need to do about that. But not there. It takes away from, we want you back. We want you, we want you, want you. Instead of, ah, they're in timeout, I've got 5 minutes to breathe. You want them to want to come back. Yes.
So if I'm putting one in the bedroom for their time away, and I have to sit there to make sure that said child does not leave?
You do not have to sit there if the door is locked. You have to be around so you hear that they don't get hurt.
Right.
But you can be with the other child that way.
But then that means then that I have to bring the other child in the same general vicinity to make sure that the other child isn't tearing the house apart.
Yeah, and I think in your case, maybe the close next room, wherever it is, got your little basket of fun things to do with that kid. Say, well, looks like we get to have some fun alone time together. Throw them in there, yeah.
One screws up, y'all screwed up.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. So when it's not happening yet and you're going to invite some people over, you just sit and say, you know, it looks like sometimes it really bothers you for some of your things to be played with. So we want to look at what one or two things you want to put up in mommy's closet while they're here. Everything else everybody gets to play with. And if it doesn't go well that time, then they're going to not get to have play dates or whatever they want. They can't, if they can't share. But it's, you know, it's not fair sometimes when they put together some beautiful Lego whatever and then some kid comes and is bashing it on the wall. Yeah.
What do you do to neutralize, like, kind of the potty humor or spitting at, like, a 4-year-old age? That, especially in public where you're trying to I feel like it's almost inappropriate.
Yeah, so you're going to set up, again, this is another one of their great skills, but you would set up a time when you're going to go to their favorite restaurant and they don't get to go. Here's the babysitter. You're going to pay for the babysitter because every time we go, you're spitting things and you're not acting. You're just not quite old enough yet. We can't wait for you to come. Babysitter's there, like freaking out, And you tell the babysitter, don't let them, you know, go, and they have to pay you with one of their toys. So you leave without them, and you come back with balloons and Red Robin hats, and we hope you get to come next time. They won't be spitting next time. They don't get to go. One of my families in my practice did it with Disneyland. Whoa, Grandma was mad because Grandma bought the season tickets and this kid can't go. And he was so rude to a teacher and to his mom. And he had no idea. The whole family goes every other month, I guess. And it was time to go to Disneyland. And in came a babysitter, which he always is watched by his grandma. But no, that can't be. And they left for the day. Went to Disneyland, came back, and of course everybody got a few extra fun things. And they said, we hope you can go next time. And boy, was he ready. No more goofing off in the classroom or being disrespectful. It has to happen once. It has to be severe enough, the consequence, that like, oh, I want to change my behavior. Okay, I'm going to stop. Where's my girl? Over here. We're good? All right. No, thank you.
We just want to say thank you.
Thank you. You're on.
Hello. We just want to say thank you so much for coming.
Always fun.
Giving us all these fun tools, and just thank you for your time.